several public lands acts have been introduced in the past year and a half. Two have passed, including Congressman Tipton's, I mean, this didn't pass, but his sort of pushback against the CORE Act in 2019. How have they impacted the progress of the CORE Act? I mean, have they diluted support in Congress and the public?
No. The CORE Act is, I think, the most broadly supported public lands bill that we've seen in a quarter of a century in our state, throughout all parts of the state, but particularly the Western Slope, where bipartisan commissions have supported the bill, where the outdoor industry supports the bill. We even have the support of this bill of a silver mine. The Ouray Silver Mining Company supports this bill, so, and the ranchers here. So I think that there have been other bills that have been introduced as kind of a ways of being an excuse for not supporting CORE, I think, rather than actually taking on the substantive issues of CORE. There are many ways in which we've amended the bill over the years to change lines and to make sure that existing uses are protected all over the state. And so I think the people that have opposed it are opposing it really for ideological reasons rather than for substantive reasons that have to do with the bill. And it's time, after all these years, now it's been almost 10 years, for us to deliver for the people of Colorado. There isn't anybody in America that's been more successful at building bipartisan coalitions than John Hickenlooper. And I know there are a lot of Republicans in the Senate who have public lands bills in their states that they want to get passed. CORE is going to be a part of that, and we'll get it done. We got a bipartisan vote in the House.
All these people that normally aren't trying to protect more land are coming together to make sure that the CORE Act is perfect, is as close to perfect as you're going to get. That's why it's the model piece of legislation it is. Can't wait to vote for it.
You know, another reason why our agriculture community has been so supportive of it is because the wilderness in this bill is all about protecting our watersheds, and they're not making any more water, and that's why it's so critical for us to protect those watersheds, and agriculture knows that in Colorado.
So what's it going to take to pass it?
It's going to take getting John Hickenlooper elected. It's going to take our delegation speaking with one voice on this issue. John and I, I'm sure, will have our disagreements on lots of things, but we certainly have been in agreement on this from the very beginning for years and years and years and years. His voice will make a big difference in getting this done.
Basically, is there a chance of it getting passed this session?
There is. There is a chance that...
just governing 101, so is that through the National
Defense
Authorization?
Exactly.
Can you talk about that a little bit for
sure.
Listeners who might not know
what it's
that is?
The NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, we're going to vote on in the lame duck session, and there are other things that can get attached to that, and historically, public lands bills have been attached to that vehicle. And that could happen again, and if it does, I hope CORE will be part of it. I mean, sometimes people say, well, that sounds strange. I mean, what are you doing putting a public lands bill on a national defense bill, which I think is a really good question. There's an answer, which is we are so dysfunctional now as a Congress that there are these certain things that are just must-pass bills, like the NDAA, where if you've got other business that's bipartisan that you can get done, both Republicans and Democrats together have said, okay, we're going to do it on those bills. I'd much rather we did it in a proper, regular order. And it's another reason why I want John Hickenlooper in there, because we've got to make the Senate work in the way that it was designed to work, and it's not working that way today.